Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. Summer League's almost here. Free agency is in full swing, free agency is always cool for like a day or two, and then you're just waiting for Summer League.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited for Summer League. The California Classics this weekend. I know the are they still doing the Utah Summer League?
That's I don't know. Actually, I have the NBA page up. I can tell you. Hold on. Yes, they are still doing the Salt Lake City Classic at the same time. So we might as well preview that also.
Oh, camera went blurry.
Yeah, I know. It's cool. We are super polished on this show. Yeah, man. So yeah, we're there. There is still the Utah Salt Lake City Summer League. I don't even know what they call it. I guess they could just call it the Salt Lake City Summer League.
That's what they usually call it. Yeah. For some reason my brain blanked on whether they were actually doing it. I know they do it every year. I remember for a while they did it in Orlando. Like those were kind of cool.
Those were awesome, dude. Those were awesome. Although the gym was quite small.
Yeah, it looked very small. It looked like there, you know, you couldn't fit many people in there outside of the players and coaches and whatnot. But
that literally was like it, right?
Yeah. Although, those were the days. But
Ethan did say he used to go to every single one of those.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, right. I don't know how far. I mean, you know this better than I do. Isn't Orlando?
It's 2.5 hours.
Three and a half hours?
Okay. 3.5 hours from Broward. So,
okay.
You know. I don't know why my camera keeps going blurry today. We're being actively sabotaged. Somebody doesn't want this podcast to happen. But let's get into it, man. So we'll talk about both the Salt Lake City Summer League and the California Classic. We'll start with the California Classic. The very first game of the day will be Saturday, July 5th, 4:30 p.m. on NBA TV. And that is for the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat. Super excited for that matchup until we learned Dylan Harper's dealing with a groin.
I'm so excited.
I thought it was Carter Bryant, but I messed that one up. It's Dylan Harper. He had some injuries in college, too. Nagging injuries. He had some illnesses. Is it a red flag?
Oh, my gosh. We're not going there yet. Should he have been drafted too? No.
Should he have been drafted? That's right. Not just two. Should he have been drafted? No, I'm just joking.
No, I'm very excited for that. I'm just looking at San Antonio's roster. I don't know like any of these summer league rosters until I, you know, look at them and pull them up for the first time. Very interesting. Not that it matters because it doesn't, but they have 1, 2, 4 Mountain West guys on here. That's pretty cool.
Of course, Matt Hanifin guys. Of course, he's gonna know that there's a Mountain West guy.
Yeah.
Of course.
Or the former Mountain West guys. But I guess I think the thing I'm most excited about from San Antonio's perspective is obviously Carter Bryant. Harrison Ingram, who was one of our guys last year, is back here. I'm not necessarily sure what their two-way situation looks like, but I'm sure there's, you know, a couple guys on this roster competing for a two-way spot. It's unfortunate that we won't get to see Dylan, though.
It really is. Dylan versus Kasper Shakachonis would have been an outstanding test and a good compare and contrast situation for the 20th overall pick to go against the number 2 overall pick. It would have been perfect. Alas, some of the guards that he's going to have to go against instead is Jameer Nelson Jr., Josh Adeje.
One of the Mountain West guys.
There's a Mountain West guy. Matt would know.
Utah State and San Jose State.
Noah Farrakhan. Farrakhan.
I don't know. I Farrakhan? Can't help you out with that one.
I think it's Farrakhan. Noah Farrakhan. Hampton, USA. 6'1", 170 pounds. I know zero about his game. Zero. Amari Moore?
Yep.
Okay. Kyle Mangus?
Watching you so we're now through one team. Watching you try to pronounce some of these names might be the best content that we've had.
It's so bad. I'm so bad at pronouncing names.
Some of these I can't pronounce either. So
yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, Carter Bryant playing is a good thing. Because I think he's actually going to match up defensively a lot against Kasparis Jakachonis. The reason why I think that is strictly because of the size and weight and ability to... Because Kasp is a big dude. A lot of these guards are really small. So it's going to be very interesting to see who they match Kasp up with. Now, the other interesting thing is... Who's going to match up with where on this roster?
It's Diallo.
I know, but is he really going to match up with where?
No.
Where should have Wilt Chamberlain-esque numbers in his very first game? Khalil Ware should feast. We should probably run down the Miami Heat roster.
We could save the best for last.
I mean, okay. We'll save the best for last, Matt Hanifin. So let me see. Oh, it's this one I have up on my screen. So let me just share that. Wait for it. And share. Boom, guys, like magic. Zoom in. All right, so let's talk about Umar Balo from Indiana. He came in and transferred in after Khalil Ware left. He's very strong. Very strong hustle guy. Great measurables. Basketball IQ, not so great. Can't really pass. Can't really shoot. Literally just heart. JC Butler? I don't have anything on him. You, Matt?
Inconsequential. He played a little bit with Sioux Falls, but not too much.
I was going to say, I watched a lot of Sioux Falls because of Isaiah Stevens, and I didn't see him at all.
Yeah.
Javonta Cook, forward, 6'6", 185 pounds. How are you 6'6", 185? I'm confused. No, nothing?
No, I thought you were...
That's all I got.
I was waiting for you.
That's all I got. How are you 6'6", 185?
No, I'm looking here. He played a little bit with it. Like over time, he's played with Minnesota. He's played with OKC in their systems. 3 years in the G Leagues, averaged 16.8 points 2 years ago, and then 16.7 last year in the regular season. So yeah, I mean, he's been a career G leaguer up to this point.
Dane Danger, 6'9", 255.
He's like a D tackle playing
basketball. Oh yeah, yeah. The big thing to notice is that he's a forward. Cook's a forward. There's about 3-inch height difference. But about 80 pounds of weight difference.
See, when they list these positions, like, is Dane Danger really a forward?
I mean, he's a football player. Is that a position?
Yeah, F for football player.
That's right.
Like, he's a big.
Who's more of a football player? Dane Danger or Cyan James?
Well, they're different positions on the football field.
Right. Definitely different positions on the football field.
Dane Danger's playing running back. No.
Yeah, oh my God. He's Jerome Bettis?
6'9", 255 running back. Like but the thing with Dane is like he's very nimble for being someone who's 255 pounds.
Yeah.
Like he's got good skill to him. But he's mostly like a hub around the basket offensively. Like he's got skilled footwork and whatnot, but it's more so like he's not someone who's gonna like stretch the floor or anything like that.
What about Myron Gardner?
I don't know enough about Myron, no.
Me neither. Vlad Golden, 7'1", 250, old school big, hard rolling to the basket, jump hook over either shoulder. Doesn't rebound as well as people think. 7 rebounds per game isn't great for a 7-footer in the Big Ten. He was like 170th nationally in rebounding. Not great, Bob.
I think a part of that, though, is who he was playing next to.
I mean, Danny Wolf is going to get some rebounds, but he plays on the perimeter a lot.
Yeah, but he's still grabbing 7 or 8 of those things a game.
10.
10. There you go.
Yeah,
there
Danny Wolf was grabbing 10. Yeah, but Vlad Golden, he's going to have a shot. He's definitely going to have a shot because the Miami Heat are desperately in the need of a backup big. And if you want to see Khalil Ware play, you're going to catch him early because he's not going to play a lot.
Yeah, probably first couple of games.
And I don't even know if they're these first couple of games. They may be the Vegas game. Remember they did that with Jaime last year. Jaime didn't play in the California Classic.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a guy on here. Number 25, Kasparis Jakančionis. 6'6", 205. There's been some highlight videos out there recently of Kasp. Woo! Fans are buzzing, Matt. What are you looking forward most to seeing about Kasparis Jakančionis?
Just to see how he gels with some of the more experienced guys on the roster, because that's largely what you're going to see during the season when he's playing. Specifically with Ware, when he gets those opportunities. With Kashad, with Pella, how he gels with them, like, what does the role allocation look like? How does he play off ball? And then just in general, like, how does he look defensively?
Defensively is the biggest thing I want to see.
Yeah, like, how does he look at the point of attack? How does he look, you know, off the ball? Like, what's his foot speed look like? What's his screen navigation look like? And then offensively, like, with the ball in his hands, like, how aggressive is Kasparis? How is he finding his shot? And again, like, not to say, you know, if he lights the world on fire or anything like that, that it's automatically going to translate to an NBA basketball court. But you just want to see, like, especially when it comes to, you know, your first round picks and whatnot, you want to see them play well.
Absolutely.
For the most part, you kind of expect it, but you want to see it happen because if there are any, like, glaring concerns, and obviously, you know, not everything's going to be perfect for these guys, but if
absolutely
you want to make sure you know, they're getting to their spots, they're flowing within the offense. And I think it's a little bit of also work in progress because it's like he never played with these guys before outside of, or at least Kasparis has never played with these guys before outside of the last week. And so how is he adjusting to this? Because I'm sure, you know, the last week has been frantic for him.
He said it at the end of his workout video, the last one they put out. They asked him what he's looking forward to and what he's working on in the gym. And he's saying just getting to learn the system and what the coaches want in certain situations. So, like, you're right. He's diving into that to the scheme and getting used to the tendencies of the players that are going to be out there on the floor. I'm looking forward to it, man. I really am on the offensive end. I'm looking forward to the facilitation more than anything else.
Yep.
How well he organizes offense. Like, if they're getting too frantic and helter skelter, is he able to settle everybody down, get them into offense? Is he able to make the right reads without turning the ball over? Turnovers are going to happen, but that's what I'm looking for. Another thing too, the Miami Heat, as we all know, aren't in a great position to compete for the playoffs, right? So he has an opportunity to seize playing time. And it starts by building winning habits now in summer league, carrying that over into camp and seeing what you can do in the preseason. So big, big stuff. Kasper Šalkačionis.
And there's an, that same thing applies to those next two guys on the list.
That you've read my mind, man. That's where I was going with all this. The next two guys have a great opportunity to seize playing time as well. Keshawn Johnson, high flyer, switchable defensively. I really want to know, is this shot improved at all?
It was streaky last year in Sioux Falls. It started out really well, but toward the tail end of the season, it kind of...
Yeah, for those that can't see, he fell off a cliff.
Yeah, it was.
Those listening in the podcast... but this is your guide to the California Classic and Salt Lake City Summer League games. So we're going to continue to run down these rosters. Pelle Larsson, huge opportunity. Probably the biggest opportunity outside of Kasper Šalkačionis to seize playing time is Pelle Larsson. His on-ball defense, his ability to knock down three-point shots. Did he get better at making reads and facilitating than he did earlier in his rookie season? Is he going to be able to defend without fouling? Because that was one of his bugaboos last season, was he would get in foul trouble. He's very, very aggressive defensively. Kyron Lewis, he's still here.
I saw the name when I first looked at this roster, and I was just like, wait. He's been in the league for a minute. Yeah, he was a lottery pick in 2020, I think.
Yeah, man. He's been in the league for a very, very long time. 5 years now.
Let me double check this.
Wow. While he's looking that up. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, 13th to New Orleans.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. Crazy. Is he the new JC?
No. No, he was that, oh God, who was that one guy that was with Miami a couple years ago? I'm drawing a blank.
Rodney Magruder?
No. More recent, like within the last couple of years. The guy that they got from Denver. RJ Hampton.
RJ Hampton. That's right. He's the new RJ Hampton.
Like, it's kind of like RJ Hampton.
That's right. Steve Settle, dude, is very interesting. 6'10". Yeah. But also, what are with all these forwards? They're only like a buck 80, buck 90. Super lanky dude, long arms, great in the off ball defense. He can block shots for you. His jumper's funky, but it goes in. The 3-point shooting is there. He can handle a little bit, not great. If you just watched highlights, you would think Steve Settle is like a superstar in the making because the cutups make it look like his handles are fantastic. They're okay for his size, but they are not like the highlights make him out.
Well, they're highlights for a reason.
That's right. I'm interested to see how his handles translate in real games and how he can defend multiple positions. Those are the biggest things I'm looking forward to from him.
Agreed. And his skill level to see what that looks like.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Like, you mentioned the three-point shooting. He was a 31% three-point shooter on steady volume his first 4 years in college and then shot up to 46 or 42% last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much I believe in that, Jay.
Yeah, like that's something else that for him specifically I'm looking out for.
Kalel Ware, we're not going to talk much about him. He should dominate. If he doesn't, it's a problem. Bryson Warren, been in the G League. from by all accounts, he's a great guy, but I think he's a career G leaguer, man. I don't see a way he makes it in the NBA.
Yeah, he is so unbelievably skinny.
Yes.
Like the 185 doesn't do, like, he's put on weight the last couple of years, specifically last year. Like, you could tell, like, when you watch G League games, he's put on some weight.
Right.
But he's still like, he's still super skinny, can knock down open shots. He shot 39% last year in the regular season with Sioux Falls after shooting just 31%. Like, that was kind of his calling card. He was with Overtime Elite before. He's still like 19 or 20 years old, despite playing three professional seasons already. Like, yeah,
it's a tough road for him.
Yeah, right now he's still a G leaguer for sure.
Marcus Williams played at San Francisco with Mogbo, and I remember seeing him and was like, "Oh, this guy's got a little something to his game." Back whenever I was scouting Mogbo, and it wasn't quite enough. He hasn't really improved from that time. He's pretty much the same player. 6'2", 200, does a little bit of everything, but doesn't do anything great. That's the best way I can describe Marcus Williams at this point in his career.
Yeah, another former Mountain West guy. I should point that out.
Matt, this Nevada bias is overflowing from
you. It's not Nevada. It's not Nevada.
It's the Mountain West Conference, okay?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It stems from that Nevada bias.
It's the Mountain West Conference, yeah. He was in the Mountain West when I was in college. Yeah, he's a good player. He shot 41% from three last year. 15 right. a game, 4.5 assists, 1.5 steals. But to your point, like, he's a small guard, and I think there's going to be limitations there no matter what.
Absolutely.
But I think he'll be good enough to stick with the G League roster.
Yeah, I think so too. He's because he's good at almost everything, just not great at anything. Yeah. But here we have. I picked up a bad habit from you, Matt Hanifin, by the way.
Whoa!
You say a lot, and so now I've started saying a lot. So I've been filling air with I've noticed it in these playbacks when I listen to these. I've started saying and I got to re-break that habit that I learned not to do a long time ago. So I got to break that. No more ums on this podcast. The Lakers are up next on their roster. They put out the funkiest graphic they could think of for some reason. I mean, plain white paper wasn't good enough. Eric Dixon is a guy to keep your eye on if you're looking for a guide to the California Classic. Not because he's going to be particularly great, but because he's going to put up every single shot he sees. He's never met a shot he didn't like, dude. That ball's going up. Villanova, Wildcat, undersized forward. He'll get on the glass a little bit, but other than that, he's just chucking. This Bronny James character, what are you looking forward to from Bronny James in year two, Matt Hanifin?
You're setting me up here. No, it's the defense. It's just what he can do on ball, how he's grown in that way. Yeah. First thing I want to drift away, cause I know you set me up for Bronny, our favorite player.
He's so good.
It sucks that Thiero isn't playing.
I didn't know he's not playing. Oh, yeah. He's not back from the knee yet.
Yeah, he's not playing because of the knee. But I was like, guys. Dang, like, that came out, I think it was yesterday.
Oh,
was
like, man.
That's kind of a bummer just because I was hoping to see him play.
Absolutely. That would have been a good test for Pella. Rim.
Huh?
That would have been a good test for Pella Larson.
Just watching them battering, ramming into each other, like
they're both ultra physical guys. Yeah, it'd have been amazing. But for those that are watching on the YouTube platform, don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave a comment because we want this show to be interactive, guys. We want this to be interactive. Bronny James, I'm looking forward to what he can do on the ball. He's not going to be an off-ball player. He's not going to be a high-volume player. So can he run the team? Can he get offense organized? Can he facilitate? The defensive stuff he has to be able to do. Because if he can't do the defensive stuff, he can't stick in the league. Period. Troy Jemison, Ty Johnson, Arthur Kamala.
Kaluma,
that's right. That guy. Any of those guys that pique your interest, Matt Hanifin?
Kaluma. I liked him in college.
How do you think he translates to the NBA?
Not great.
Okay.
He's never been like a great shooter. He's a good rebounder. He can score a little bit, you know, but I mean, he shot 35% last year from deep.
Right.
In his first 3 years in college, he was 31%. I don't know how exactly he translates. Like, he has an NBA body.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure if, like, the complete skill set, specifically on the ball. Like,
right.
He's a wing who kind of plays like a big, but isn't a big, kind of, in a sense.
He's a tweener.
I loved his motor.
Okay. High motor guy. You always need the hustle, guys. Dalton Connect has been a part of so many trade rumors over the past year, and he's currently being rumored to the Miami Heat in a part of the massive seven-team sprawling Kevin Durant unreal fiasco that's unfolding as far as the trade goes. What do you think Dalton Connect has to do in this summer league to prove to NBA front offices he's worth it?
I mean, I would say defend, but if I'm defending players in the G League, that doesn't mean I'm doing it in an NBA context.
Well, the great thing about this year's G League, or not G League, this year's Summer League, there's so much talent coming into these Summer League games. He's going to have an opportunity to showcase some of that.
Sure.
Can we agree on that?
But that doesn't mean that doesn't mean it's going to sell teams, but yes.
Cool. Is there anybody else on this roster outside of Cole Schweider? Because I know you want to spend the next 5 minutes talking about Cole Schweider.
Marcin Lonis is someone who's interesting. He was at St. Mary's, two-time West Coast Conference Player of the Year. Skilled passer. You know, I think he averaged like 14 or 15 a game. Like good efficiency.
Do you know what his measurables are?
I know he's 6'6". I don't know the wingspan.
Oh, that's bigger than I thought. So 6'6", skilled passer. That's very intriguing. So that's something you're going to want to keep an eye on during the California Classic and in Vegas, is if it's going to be enough for him to try to get on the bottom of a roster or run somebody's second unit. That's interesting.
Actually, hold on. I didn't lie. 6'4", not 6'6".
Still good size for a facilitating guard.
He played bigger than he was, though, at least from what I could recollect. I could be completely wrong. I can't say I watched every St. Mary's game.
That's okay.
I'm trying to find his measurables, but I can't find it. Let me see if it says it here.
So the only team left is the Golden State Warriors. Let me see. I think I have their
6'6" wingspan, 8'27" reach or standing reach.
That's pretty good.
I mean, but like barely any length outside of his height.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, so the Golden State Warriors, they're the last team that's in the California Classic because there's only four. They have a unique roster that has a blend of older guys like John Cryer. In terms of college rookies, I'm not talking about Marcus Bolden that's been in the league for 3 years already. But LJ Cryer, old prospect. He's been in college forever. 3-point specialist. Coleman Hawkins, been in school forever.
Yep.
Blake Henson, for Housley still listed as a rookie. He was in summer league last year.
It's because players who were in the G League or who played overseas or whatever, they still list them as rookie because they didn't play an NBA game or something like that.
Dude, Blake Henson's old, but he will chuck every shot he sees. He will shoot everything. I'm a huge Pitt guy because, you know, I'm from the Pittsburgh area originally. I watch so much of his stuff. Will Richard, Florida. Alex DeHuy is who I want to see. Yeah. I really want to see what he can do in that Golden State system. 6'8", 223, played in the Australian League, the NBL. He is super versatile, switchable defensively. He's athletic, can finish in transition. Shot it at about 36% from three. I really like what they have in Alex DeHuy.
Yeah.
Anybody
He's
else?
He's the only catch one him? I really care to watch on this roster, if I'm being completely honest.
You and me both, man. You
I do like Pryor. He can shoot it. McMillan's okay. Richard's okay. But other than that, DeHuy's the only one I'm the only one that piques my interest, if I'm being honest.
I'm right there with you. Oh, man, they have a roster section on NBA.com for the Salt Lake City Classic. That is the Memphis Grizzlies, OKC Thunder, Philadelphia 76ers, Utah Jazz. Before we get into that, I want to tell you guys about a sponsor of today's show. And that is the sponsor for today's show for Hoops Profile, the Beyond the Backboard podcast. Today, we're introducing a game changer in Level 8 cases. If sleek, durable, and thoughtfully designed luggage is your style, then Level 8 delivers like an all-star on game night. They're perfect for traveling to games or wherever your journey takes you. Like a great team, we share the commitment to top-tier performance. Level 8 luggage stands out for its quality and design that you'll love, whether you're on a short getaway or an epic expedition. This partnership isn't just about luggage. It's about taking every journey to the next level, just as we aim to do with every episode. Don't wait. Visit level8cases.com and use the code level8hoop10 for 10% off your next trip companion. That's level8hoop10 for 10% off your next trip companion. So thank you again to them for sponsoring today's show. As we get into the second half of this thing and pull up some of these rosters from Salt Lake City. And you know, I go to the page where it says rosters. You know what it says? This page will be updated soon. No rosters, zero. So let's talk about the main attractions for the Salt Lake City games. The Oklahoma City Thunder. There's one big one that we have. Really big. 6'10". 7'6 wingspan. Hands like vice grips. Do you know who I'm talking about, Matt Hanifin?
Thomas Sorber.
Thomas Sorber, baby.
He's not playing, though, is he?
But he's not playing. That's correct. He's still rehabbing his foot.
Okay. I thought you were setting me up as if he was playing or if I missed something.
Sometime, if you click on the teams on NBA.com, it'll actually take you to the roster. Yeah, I did set you up. I'm sorry. Sorry if I made you sad. All right, here it is. This is the Oklahoma City roster. Let me zoom in a little bit. Thomas Sorber. I'm interested in Brooke Barnheiser. I'm really interested in how he translates to the league.
That's the team roster, not the summer league roster.
Gosh darn it.
I actually looked. I don't think they've officially released their roster yet, but Utah has.
Oh, let's talk about Utah. Go ahead, Matt Hanifin. You're up.
So, I mean, just a couple of like the main attractions. Obviously, Ace Bailey. He's the one who's, you know, made headlines.
Who? I've never heard of him.
Ace Bailey.
Did he make some headlines during the draft process?
Yeah. I mean, he said some stuff or didn't say some stuff.
Didn't go to worked workout, out for some people or jazz. Didn't work out for some people. That's right.
Yeah. Utah has an interesting collection of players because it's like, so they have Ace Bailey. We're going to see a little bit of Walter Clayton Jr. and Isaiah Collier together. Clayton Jr. was their, 18th overall pick this last year.
Do they share the floor together during a game?
It's an excellent question. That's something I'm looking out for. Filipowski, who was the second round selection for bad guy reasons, or you can just
bad guy it. Reasons.
You can go search that up. but yeah, he's going to be there, or at least he's on their roster. Again, some of these second year guys like Collier, like Filipowski.
Cody better be there.
Well, I don't know how much they're going to play. Like
Cody better play.
I was going to get there.
Okay.
Yeah, Cody Williams was another one. John Tanjay is someone else who I'm looking out for, because I think he'll eat up those Cody Williams, Filipowski minutes once they stop playing, because I'm guessing they're not going to have, a long leash on some of these second-year guys. That, like I'm sure they're going to showcase them. I don't know how long or for what.
Right.
But I think he'd be eating up some of those minutes. Bryce Sensabaugh is another. Sunogo, who was on that UConn national championship team, is here. Jawan Roberts, who was with Houston last year. Is there anyone else of note? RJ Lewis, someone who was at St. John's. No one else. Oh, Max Asemus was someone who was at Texas.
Right.
I don't remember where he previously came from, but it was he was one of the premier scorers in the entire country before he transferred to Texas. He's a small guard, 5'11". But he's on this roster as well. So they have some intriguing names.
It is. It's a very intriguing collection of people. And I'm interested to see what they do against the Philadelphia 76ers and VJ Edgecombe. That dude, his body control is so good now. He's able to stop start way better than he used to. Remember early in the college basketball season when he had no control over his speed and athleticism?
Yep.
Just night and day different now. It's just night and day different. I'm really interested to see how his 3-point shot translates. We already know the defensive stuff's going to translate. I have no question in my mind about that. But is he going to be able to facilitate? That's the other question. Is he going to be able to facilitate?
Yeah. At least is like a connector.
Yes. Absolutely. Because whenever he plays in the regular season and he's on the floor with Maxey and Embiid whenever, twice a year when he plays, is he going to be able to be that connector piece and not bog down some of the offense?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody on the Oklahoma City roster outside of Thomas Sorber you're looking forward to? Like maybe AJ Lawson, one of the second year guys, if he plays. They're so deep. Nikola Topic, is he going to play?
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be Topic or Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say Dylan Jones, but
RIP.
Yeah, no longer on the team.
Yeah, RIP Dylan Jones. who did the Memphis Grizzlies select, Matt Hanifin?
Cedric Coward.
He's another guy you didn't hear anything about. I'm just kidding. He was everywhere pre-draft.
I don't know if they've disclosed their roster either. I'm trying to find it.
Well, I'm going to talk a little Cedric Coward while people are doing that. Cedric Coward, 6'6", long arm, 7'2" wingspan, good athlete, can shoot the ball, can post up. He's got a good feel for passing from the post. He just can't dribble. So I'm really interested in how he gets his shots and if he's able to create any of his own offense. I'm also interested to see how he looks on ball defensively as well. What are your thoughts?
He's playing with his shoulder, right? I would imagine so.
I haven't heard anything to the contrary. So again, the California Classic and the Salt Lake City Summer Games run simultaneously, starting on Saturday, the 5th through the 8th. And then 2 days later, you get the Las Vegas Summer League, which I'll happen to be at. We will have some content coming from there. I don't know if it'll be solo content. There may be surprise guests. There may be some Five Reasons Sports stuff in there. Who knows? But we will be in the building, man, to see these people live and in person, to shake some hands and rub some shoulders. Hopefully not in that way. Anyway, Matt, that's all I really have for today. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover before we get out of here? Any free agent news that you found shocking? Anything pertinent?
I guess the shocking thing is the one shocking thing is the Miles Turner, Dame Lillard thing. Miles Turner signing a 4-year, $107 million deal. Milwaukee needed to create cap space before that became official.
Right.
They just outright waived and stretched Damian Lillard. They'll have him for $22.5 million on the books for the next 5 years. I think Milwaukee's kind of in a lose-lose situation with this, just because it's like, okay, if I don't, you know, if we keep Dame on the roster and if, you know, we sign Miles Turner, and if we, you know, we would have to forego other assets for this to work. And right. They still did have to clear cap space. They traded Pat Connaughton.
Yeah.
With 2 second-round picks.
Is that enough to satisfy Giannis?
It's enough to satisfy Giannis, but it's not enough to make him good.
But that's my point. Like, is Giannis going to be satisfied with just being a middling franchise?
No. Again, it's a lose-lose situation because they were going to be mediocre or like a 6 or 7-ish seed either way.
Is there a team out there that should take a flyer on a rehabbing Dame Lillard for 2026?
Any of the good teams that, like, if you want to sign, I don't know what his market's going to be like, but if, I don't know, I'm trying to think of.
Keep in mind, it's an Achilles for a guard, an aging guard.
Yeah, it would have to be something cheap. But any of the contenders out there that are looking for extra guard play, like the Knicks, you know, a guy who can come off the bench and.
I don't think he stays out east. Based on the rumors that he was unhappy being in Milwaukee so far away from his kids, I think he's going out west no matter what. So Golden State makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Before players over 36 or older.
That's right. It's the geriatric team. That's right. They're all old as me.
They're the golden oldies.
The golden oldies.
For those
I'm Miami clipping Heat that. That's going to be a YouTube short. They're the golden oldies.
The golden oldies. The Golden State oldies.
Oh my God. That's great.
I think I mentioned to someone that if, because I know the Heat fans were doing this, and I don't want to get on this tangent. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. But fans were doing like, they should get Kevin Durant. They should get DeMar DeRozan. They should go all in for this year. I was like, just call them the golden oldies at this point.
That's right.
If they do that, like, don't even.
Well, let me say this about Heat fans, because I love our Heat fans.
I love them too, but.
But they want the best of both. They say they don't want. The Heat are doing nothing. The front office is doing nothing. But then at the same time, they don't want to give up Kelo Ware. They don't want to give up Tyler Hero. Right? But at the same time, they're saying all our assets should be worth something, but they don't want to give up anything. How does that work? How do you not give up something to get something in return?
I think that's more so how it's been in past years, because I think I've fallen in that camp where it's like, I don't want to give up Kelo Ware because I know this team's not doing anything if you trade him for whatever.
Right. But you also, but you're not the type of person that's saying, but they're not doing anything to go get anybody.
I didn't expect them to do anything the first few days.
Heck no.
I was just like, whenever the Shams notification hits that they traded someone or whatever, fine. But other than that, I'm not really expecting anything.
I still think a move is coming. Like, because I still think they got to get rid of some of that clutter and, you know, Terry Rozier and Andrew Wiggins. So I still think something's coming. And I don't think Fontecchio is sticking around, in my opinion.
Oh.
I don't think he's that good. I just think he's an asset to, like, move for another piece or something.
I like Fontecchio. I don't think he's going to, like, nothing going to be crazy. He's going to be, like, an eighth man.
He's so much less of a player than Duncan Robinson was. Like, he's not nearly as good as Duncan Robinson.
No, he's not.
Yeah. So, like, am I blocking Pelle Larsen minutes for Fontecchio? No.
No, you would be in the Jovic Hawkes.
I'm not blocking either of their minutes for Fontecchio either. You got to figure out what you have in those two guys.
Yeah.
But this isn't a Miami Heat podcast.
I would consider, depending on how he plays, I would consider doing it for Hawkes.
Y'all are so low on Hawkes. I'm going to put this hot take out there. I think Hawkes has a great season.
Me too.
Great season.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It depends on how he plays, because it's like, if he comes out, it looks like last year.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a very, very good year. But that's really it for me, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Matt, tell the people where they can find you, follow, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at hot.hoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/hoopsprofile.
That's right, where we film this podcast from right now. So don't forget to like and subscribe. We'll see you next time.